Mic check.
Mic check.
Now it's time to start the show. Now it's time to start the show.
Welcome to the Two Man Wolfpack. Every week, running it back.
Beam and Web try to act like they know. Now it's time to start the show. Yo, for show. Let's go.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Two Man Wolfpack. As always, my name is Adam, coming to you from my basement in Minneapolis. And dialing in from Chicago, as always, my good friend.
Brian,
contrary to rumors, we're still at it with the Two Man Wolfpack. Pathetically enough, it's been over a month since our last pod.
Wow.
Apologize to all the listeners out there. I'd say most of the fault's probably mine. It's probably like a 75-25 situation.
It's a strong mix. I'd say it's both of us.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. It's just, we've just been busy. Hopefully, in the near term and more longer term than that, we will be less busy.
We literally couldn't pod any less.
We'll be able to get back to podding a little bit more. But anyways, since we last potted, Brian, the season ended. In case you didn't know, the regular season did. The playoffs are well underway, and there's been some Wolves news. But before we get into all of that, how you been?
Well, so much has happened. It's hard to know where to start. I've been good. Let's see. I think since we last potted, did we pod after my half marathon?
We did, yeah. We got the half marathon athletic update. Any other athletic updates?
God, sad. That was my last athletic update. I've exercised like 4 times since then.
Okay.
No, other than that, that's really it. I was in New York last week, went down to Austin for a bachelor party. It was pretty fun.
Man, you're just living the life, traveling every weekend.
Not exercising. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah, not exercising. You eating good, or is that falling off the wagon? You're back on fun eating?
Oh, God, no. Yeah, I just eat whatever's in front of me.
Oh, man. Good for you. Keep living the life.
What's up with you, man? You working out? You getting fat?
My fatness level is probably about the same, which is higher than I'd like it to be. I have been running a bit around the lakes. My wife and I are building a home in the suburbs, so got to enjoy this.
Big announcement. Breaking news on the pod.
Got to enjoy the last summer in Minneapolis. Yeah, my marathon is set for October 1st, so I don't know when my training actually needs to start. I think it's like 16 weeks out or 12 weeks out or something
like
that.
It's pretty soon, man. You should probably start.
Yeah, in my mind, it's still like kind of far away, but every time I look at the calendar, it's really not that far. So, yeah, I do need to start. I guess start formally. It's like I still run a bit, so that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty nervous for the marathon. I feel it's a long ways. Like, right now I go on, like, 7-mile runs, and it's, like, pretty hard, and my body hurts. I got to do that times 4.
Yeah. I think you'll be fine. It's really that times 3. Don't worry about it.
Okay, appreciate that.
I don't know. I mean, you can just walk. Like, the world doesn't end if you walk. You're not going to win.
That's true, but I think they bring the van, like, 6 hours in or something.
So what you need to—it's probably too late for this—but you should definitely just lie and say you're faster than you are, which we talked about.
Say I'm faster than I am.
Yeah, so they let you start earlier. If you say you're like kind of slow, they make you start at the end.
That's a good call. That's really smart, actually, too, because in the few half marathons I've done, I've said I'm a little slower than I actually was, and it's really annoying to have to pass hordes of people.
Yeah. And if you're like me and you don't mind getting passed, like, it's definitely better to start earlier, and then you have way less risk of getting asked to leave.
I know. It's funny. In the organized races, I don't care at all if I get passed. But when I'm, like, jogging around the lakes and someone passes me, I get pretty mad. I always basically tell myself this must be their job. That's the only way they could pass me.
You're a true competitor.
Anyways, should we get into some basketball and Timberwolves talk?
Let's do it.
So before we get into some Wolves-related news, Brian, how much of the playoffs have you been watching? And do you have some general thoughts, any hot takes you can drop?
Ooh, hot takes. So I got hot takes about hot takes, which is interesting. So there's so many good people covering the NBA right now, where if you're an NBA fan and you seek out content, not even like an insane amount, like you don't need to like read Nate Duncan all the time or follow all these NBA buffs, but there's just so many people out there following the league. So I feel like it's the most popular right now. The football's out of season, that it's just hard to have a unique take on anything outside of like maybe the Wolves for us, cause they're not as well followed, but it's just hard, man.
Yeah, but I guess that's true. So you're saying you don't have hot takes, or is that your only?
So like a simple no would have sufficed.
I guess that was sort of a hot take on other people having takes.
I'm saying it's impossible to have a hot take.
What are your thoughts? It's not very surprising that it looks like it's going to be Cleveland and Golden State. They're clearly the two dominant teams in their respective divisions. But how bad is it to just have the same team in the finals? This will be 3 years in a row now. I think that's the first time it's ever happened. Do you like it, hate it, don't really care?
You know, I like it. It would be boring if it was just like if the Warriors beat them last year, which, you know, they were like minutes away from doing. If they would have just closed them out and then again were on pace for them to play in the finals for the third year where it seemed like the Cavs were going to get smoked, then I'd be pretty pissed. But, I mean, the Cavs made, you know, they won last year. The first year they kind of made a series out of it without two of their three best players. And it's a pretty good rivalry at this point. It'll be interesting. I said this last year and everyone said this last year. It seemed like the Warriors were just going to walk away with it, and they didn't. But they are, I think they are quite a bit more talented this year, though.
Yeah, I think Golden State in six with a Golden State Cavs finals would be my hot take right now. I do have some, it's funny, they're not even like in the finals yet. We're already talking about the finals. But I do have some bets floating out there. I don't know with who, but I know I bet some people even money at the start of the season that the Golden State Warriors would win the title. Do I have a bet with you?
You might have one with me.
Okay. I guess I don't know how we would look this up because it's probably not documented. But anyways, so I stand.
You bet me $1,000 that the Warriors would not win the title.
Yeah, I feel good about that bet. But what you were saying earlier, when I read and watch NBA coverage, it's sort of like, yeah, Golden State's going to win the title for sure. And I don't feel that way at all. I think Cleveland's going to be pretty competitive in the finals.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Cleveland's definitely overperformed.
I mean, they have the best player.
They do have the best player. Not by a huge margin. I think Durant can impose his will a little bit more than Curry can just because he's bigger. But yeah, I think they're the best player. Also, like, playing some of the best he's ever played, which is fucking nuts because it's like, what, year 14?
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. He's like kind of...
Right?
He's so good.
Like, when's he going to slow down? It makes no sense.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's our age, right?
Yeah. Or maybe even a year older.
I think he's like
He's amazing. He's out of this world. So it seems like that'll be the finals. I'll be excited to watch it. It's going to be fun. You know, I'm okay with the lack of parity. It seems like both teams are kind of motivated to play really well because they want to enter the finals undefeated. So it's creating a little bit of competitiveness in its own right. You know, they're not like sleeping through games or just like the Lakers would sometimes where they're just like, ah, screw it, we don't really care tonight. So yeah, I think it's fine for the league because at least there's even relatively even teams meeting in the finals.
Yeah, it is fun for the finals. I guess it's just like a little, I don't know the right word.
Anticlimactic?
Yeah, or disappointing that if you're any other team in the league besides those two, you really don't have a shot. And you know,
it is surprising how not even close. Though I will say, at the start of the playoffs, I mean, the Cavs got the 2 seed. It definitely didn't seem like they're going to run away with it. They couldn't even figure out how to win 3 out of 6 games or whatever it was to keep the 1 seed. Like, they were quite bad.
Yeah, it seems like they can flip a switch. They have an extra gear. I think Dwayne Casey said that, too, after the Raptors got swept out of the playoffs. I think he said that in his press conference. He sort of said they have a switch, and when they flip it, you can't really beat them. Must be depressing to be a Toronto fan. They've like retooled their team to try to compete with Cleveland. They just like get farther away from doing that.
Yeah, they lost one round. Well, it doesn't really matter what round they lost. It just matters when you play Cleveland in the East. But yeah, they won 0 games this year versus last year. And the weird thing was they didn't play well at all. Like they kind of looked like crap the entire time.
Yeah.
Like those games weren't even close, right? Like the Indiana games were actually all pretty close and competitive, but man, Toronto just got smoked.
Yeah, a couple of the games were close, but
you're right. A couple were close.
Yeah, a couple were close, but yeah. Overall, it's been fun. I love the NBA playoffs. It's always fun. There's like a game on every night, at least one. And
did you watch the Spurs Rockets game last night?
You know, I did not.
Oh, that game was sick.
That's been a fantastic series, and obviously that's not really a hot take. It's just it's a good matchup. It's really fun. That's probably my favorite matchup so far. And probably only my second favorite of the playoffs behind Golden State Cleveland.
Yeah, that one's pretty fun. It'll be interesting, the winner of that one, to play when they play the Warriors. Hopefully they can take a game or two off them. It'll be interesting if this – I'm kind of torn if I want the Spurs or Rockets to win. I think the Spurs play so disciplined that they would maybe slow down the Warriors a little bit, but I think the Warriors would probably sweep. I think Houston would take a game or two just because they're going to make so many threes at some point.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's they should definitely jack up the variance. They should shoot even more threes.
Yeah, they'll shoot like 70 threes a game. But they have the guys to do it. I mean, there's so many good shooters.
Yeah, I'd love to see them shoot 70 threes per game. That'd be incredible.
That'd be great. Pretty entertaining. So no, I mean, I love the playoffs. It's just like a different sport. The refs let everyone kind of hand check as much as they want. They let a lot of stuff go. They let the guys play, and guys bring it. Like, it's nice to see them try on defense.
It is really fun. You know who did not make the playoffs this year?
Who?
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
No.
Finished the year a few games better than last year. Obviously, pretty disappointing overall. We ended the year with the second to last in the league in home attendance. Not really surprising when I've been at the games. We've kind of beat this topic to death over the years on the pod, but you know, some of that is a long period of time where the team hasn't performed very well. It's been an extended playoff drought, and some of it I really think is probably due to their pricing policies of using flash seats as the sole way to get tickets and controlling the resale market. You know, the true value of a 20th row ticket on an open and free market probably isn't the same as what you can buy it from on flash seats. Flash seats is more expensive. And I do think that keeps people out of the games.
Yeah, I mean, it works great for Dan Gilbert in Cleveland when you sell out every game. But for us, it's not really a viable option. So it would be really nice if it went away. Have you heard anything about how the lawsuit's progressing?
I haven't heard anything on the lawsuit. We should have friend of the pod Andy Greeter on sometime. I know he's not doing a lot of Wolves coverage, but
yeah, Andy's on that. He's on that Minnesota United beat.
Yeah, I know, but he's probably in the know. He was the one who broke that story that the lawsuit was coming, if I remember right.
Yep, you remember right.
Thibodeau, after one season, Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. You know, I think we talked about this for a long time last time. I think that, you know, too early to tell. Like, the grade that we give the move at this point would be incomplete. It's got one season. Some guys got better. Some guys got worse. And it's just really hard to tell if he's the right coach for this team. This year is going to be really telling. You know, if we win another, like, three games more, I think we'll all be pretty disappointed and feel like it probably wasn't the right move.
Yeah, I also think we'd need to make some pretty drastic roster changes if we, once again, you know, if next year we win 36 games or something, that'd be not good. I have concerns more about Thibodeau as the, you know, I don't know, is he president of basketball operations or something like that? His front office responsibility.
He's the Pobo, yeah.
Yeah, and I say that because you've expressed this as a possible concern, I think early on after last offseason, but he didn't do much last offseason, right? We brought in some veterans to sort of fill out the roster. We were under the salary cap floor to start the season. Our bench was probably the worst in the league because the people we brought in were really cheap sort of filler spots. This offseason, I hope, is a lot different. I think we need to do some things this offseason. We have a small window of time where we actually have cap space. That's going to be gone either next year or in 2 years, depending on the timing of signing some of our young players who are good. So if we're going to do something, this is probably the offseason to do it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm worried and we'll see how it plays out this year, right? But I'm worried that they tried to just be conservative and win every signing. So I think the guys we signed, I actually thought Cole Aldridge was a great signing at $7 million a year. His numbers with the Clippers were really strong.
He was really bad for us this season.
He was really bad. Like his numbers were, you know, considerably worse. Or if the numbers, you know, didn't necessarily bear it out, but at least like his impact was very small. So he just really didn't do a lot for us. And I wonder if that's because his minutes were so low. He couldn't really ever get into a rhythm. But, you know, you wouldn't think that would affect blocks and rebounds and easy putback dunks. But so like that was not a great signing. I like the Jordan Hill signing. He did nothing. I don't even know like how many times he played. I feel like it was probably like 10 to 20 times he even played.
He barely played. Yeah, that was kind of a non-starter. Brandon Rush was probably our best signing.
Yeah, Brandon Rush, great signing. I mean, he played well for small periods once Zach was out. And it was interesting too, because he actually not like, you know, wouldn't write home about him as a defender, but like he's in the right spots, and just seeing us with another defender who's in the right spots versus LaVine, you know, it showed that we can defend if we have two bad defenders instead of three bad defenders. So it was promising from that front. But yeah, so hopefully they don't do the same thing this summer where they like miss out on good players because they're waiting to the end to cherry pick maybe one or two guys.
They can't try to get the best value on every signing. I don't know if that's what they're trying to do, but when we have a ton of cap space. What do we have? Over 30 million of cap space?
So I read an article on r/reddit about this. I think, you know, after Peck's gone, we're going to have almost 40 million in cap space.
I mean, that's pretty ridiculous. It's not like we're going to bring in a guy and sign him for the max, but we should be able to sign like two impact free agents with that cap space and still, you know, be a profitable team.
So that's what I'm very curious about. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but I feel like at some point the market has to correct a little bit. Like last year, like these guys were getting signed for massive percentages of the salary cap. Like it feels like almost like the fourth best player on the team was getting like 15 to 20% of the salary cap that's not what they should get. There's just so many teams with money, and I don't think it's going to change this year, but I think maybe in the next couple of years it will hopefully correct a little bit. But I think this summer, again, we're just going to have to overpay some like mediocre guys.
So, sorry, looking us up on spottrack.com, we have, looks like 9 million in cap space, but that's with Peck's contract still on the books. So it looks like it'd be as high as like 21, 22, looking at this.
What? That doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
What does it say we have on the books for next year?
On the books for next year, it says we have active cap, total cap. Total cap for a team, the total cap dollars. I don't know what the difference is between the two columns.
Bad pod, bro.
Yeah, I know. We either have $77 million on the books or $92 million on the books.
All right, so looking at this.
Maybe I'll just go to Real GM. Okay, we're going to have $26 million according to Real GM.
Feels low.
The maximum we could have is $36 million. But that's if we make, like, all the moves possible to free up money. Anyway, we're Timberwolves cap experts here.
84, we're down to 70. Yeah, we're probably going to let Jordan Hill go. Oh, Gorgie's jumps up next year. Garnett comes off the books. Garnett's 8 comes off the books. Oh, I think Jordan Hill comes off the books.
Garnett got paid. He got $8 million last year. I forgot that.
Yeah, so that's 12, so it gets us down to 70. 71. Yeah. And then, what's its nuts? Oh, yeah. We paid Kevin Martin 3. Yeah. Yeah. Adrian Payne. Yeah. Dude. Yeah. We're going to have close to like 40 million a room.
So what would you do with that, Brian? Would you sit on it? Would you sign a couple impact guys, probably at the 10 to 15 million a year level? Or would you try to hit a home run? Bring in like Blake Griffin.
That's the thing. So, like, obviously, there's only a couple potential home runs. So, I'd be more inclined to potentially wait a little bit, like, put, like, $20 million to work and then save 20. But that's the thing. Like, 20 is not enough to sign, like, a max guy. So, obviously, it'd be great to sign a guy like Blake Griffin. That's what I want to ask you. Like, is it out of the realm of possibility? I feel like more than anything, Blake Griffin wants to be a hipster. So, what would be more hipster than coming to Minneapolis and being the dude who like played power forward for the up and coming Timberwolves?
He's not coming to Minnesota. I'm sorry.
I mean, like, he's probably not, but can you say for sure?
Like, a realistic percentage is probably, like, under 1%. I think it's exceedingly low.
I agree.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps saying he's going to go to the Thunder, which I don't totally get.
Yeah, I don't think that either. I think he's going to be in a big market. It seems like he takes advantage of L.A. Like, he's in commercials, he's on podcasts, he's on TV shows, he's a pretty good interview, he likes doing that stuff. I don't think he's going to move to a small market.
Maybe. I don't know. I've heard a lot of rumblings about him to the Thunder, which kind of makes sense, but I don't think the small market matters as much as you think anymore, because everything's so well covered in the NBA. It's so national. I think it's just more like fun city, but at least Oklahoma City's warm, so people don't about that. They're like, oh, Oklahoma City. It's like, yeah, sorry, it's cold like 4 months of the year, guys. Yeah, so I think Blake's probably not an option, right? Another name that comes up a lot because he's...
Sorry?
Another guy that comes up a lot because we probably could get him is Paul Millsap. And I think we probably have to pay him like $20 million, probably give him like a 3 to 4 year deal, which is longer than you'd want given how old he is. How do you feel about that?
Future of our team to try to... win a title 3 years from now. We need to win some games, and we have to do it next year. It's out of control. We can't even get a weekly podcast that we've been doing for 4 years. You know, we can't even bring ourselves to do a weekly podcast that we've been doing for 5 years now because the Wolves have been so bad. We have to win some games.
I agree. We got to win some games. And I don't like. I think there's value in getting some vets in that, you know, probably won't be around in like 4 years when our young guys peak, but teaching them how to win and like what professionals need to do. I think there was a lot of value in having Garnett do that Towns' first year that I think we lost last year. You know, like I think we just had too many kids. You know, it's like the parents are gone, like the inmates are in the asylum, like the young guys take control. And that never works out well for teams like the old Jailblazers, which not like the Wolves at all. I think we actually have like a really good group of dudes, but there's not that old veteran influence, like giving them something to aspire to.
I think that's true. Also, like, why does it have to be either we have a really young team or we have super old guys who are only teachers? Why can't we have veterans that are still pretty good and can contribute to the team? Those are the guys I want.
Yeah, like, it's hard to find, though. Those guys are expensive because there's some, like, there's still a little bit of potential there. Like a Paul Millsap, you just kind of know what you're getting and you're paying per performance. He's like an assassin. Whereas if you get a guy like, well, my list is actually old guys, but like Danilo Gallinari, he's a guy who we could afford. He's still really good. He like maybe could get his points up like 5 points a game and still be an all-star. You don't know. But do you think a dude like that is realistic?
Yeah, I mean, it's way more realistic than Blake Griffin. Yeah, those are the types of guys I actually think we should really be pursuing. $20 million a year for a guy, I think that's just fine. And yeah, we're going to run into a pinch a few years from now if we extend the max to our good, solid young guys. But we can figure out that problem then. You know, we have a huge amount of cap space. We keep losing. Our team's too young. Our bench is atrocious. Let's address those issues this offseason. I feel like Bibbs has the tools he needs in terms of flexibility, cap space and roster spots to make some fixes. And if he doesn't, I'm going to have some severe doubts about his ability.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, here's one thing I'm curious about. Would you rather have like one Paul Millsap or Danilo Gallinari? Well, it sounds like you're on board with Millsap, but like one Millsap / Danilo Gallinari at like 20 to 25 million a year. Maybe even 30. I don't know. I'd be pretty upset if we signed Paul Millsap for $30 million. That's like as much as anyone in the league. Or would you rather have a Mason Plumlee and like a PJ Tucker, like two defensive guys, give us a lot more depth and kind of balance out some of our weaknesses versus one guy who can do a little bit of both, but he's going to eat up a lot of the cap?
That's a really good question. I actually think two guys.
Interesting.
It gives us more flexibility. Also, it's not like we're eight guys deep currently. I mean, we really need...
No, that was super glaring, especially after LaVine went down. It was like, man, with Brandon Rush starting, we looked super thin.
Yeah, and we looked thin because we were. and if we can bring two solid guys in, especially defensive-minded guys, you know, that'd be great. I think that'd complement our current young core really well.
Interesting. Okay.
You take the one or you take the two?
You know what's crazy? We have so much money, we should still be able to get, like, a second guy. Like, we should still be able to sign, like, pay $25 million a year if we wanted a Millsap, and then pay PJ Tucker, like, $10 million a year to come off our bench and just bother people when they're on offense.
I mean, theoretically, we could. We're not going to do that, though, because, you know, Levine, well, so, we're gonna have to re-sign him. Like, that's going to put us in way over the cap when we have to re-sign guys. I don't think we'll spend.
Yeah,
that much
so that's what's tricky, is that there's not a lot of money coming off the books after next season. It's basically the Peck contract what comes off anyways, and then it's just like, you know, Shabazz, Belly, Jordan Hill, whatever. Anyways, there's we got to save some money to sign Zach, Wiggins, and Towns, and those numbers are going to get really big, especially if we're signing dudes for a few years at this point.
Yeah. That's true. That's
very. And true. I don't think Taylor or whoever the lead owner at the time is going to want to go into the luxury tax to win like 49 games
in Minnesota. That'd be incredible.
In Minnesota, yeah, we'll see. And so on that topic, do you think we let Shabazz walk at the end of this year? He still has next year in a contract, but like, do you think we pay him probably his market value to try and keep him?
No, I do not. I think he's gone.
You think that's because we don't want to, or is that because you personally don't want to, or you don't think the team will want to?
Both, actually. I don't think he's really adds much, and I think the team sees it that way as well. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be with us long term.
Yeah, you know what? And that's kind of how I feel. Like, he does some things. I think on maybe a better team, or more defensive team, he fills a role. You know, where their benches kind of suck at scoring. You need a guy with some energy. I think that's what he can do if you put some good defenders around him. But man, that is just not our team. He's just not the guy we need.
No, he's just not the kind of player I think you really that has a place on a winning roster. He's super one dimensional. All he does is jack up shots. Sometimes he has nice runs where he actually drains a bunch of threes, but.
Yeah, but they're few, and they can't create on his own. He's like a much worse Jamal Crawford. Yeah, it'd be like if Jamal Crawford was a catch and shoot guy and still shot like 40%. Like,
no, that's exactly that's right. That's a good comparison.
Yeah, it's just kind of not a skill set that anyone really needs. So, yeah, I'd actually be pretty happy if we did not re-sign him.
Should we talk a little NBA draft, Brian?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the other thing I just wanted to touch on real quick was there's a. Yeah, we can get into free agents and future pods. The one thing I did want to touch on is read on NBA's or ESPN's Rumor Central that Tibbs was potentially interested in bringing in former player of his, Taj Gibson. Currently departed from the Thunder, getting a bit older. What do you think?
You know, I think, how old is Taj Gibson now? Like 30? 32?
30 sounds right, but why don't you keep talking and I'll start.
He's 31, I got it. Okay. Boom, got it. Yeah, I'm on board with that. He's not that old. He can still contribute. He's one of those guys who, you know, he'll get a decent contract, but he's not going to get a huge contract. And he can contribute. He's not an elder statesman who's just going to teach. He can actually contribute maybe in the starting lineup at times, depending on how we construct the lineup, but definitely off the bench.
Got it.
What do you think? You like Taj?
Yeah, I like Taj. I like Taj at 10. I don't like Taj at 13.
Okay. I feel like he's going to get more than 10, don't you?
Ah, man, he's 31. He's only good at defense. He can't really do anything on offense. Like,
salaries are insane, though. Isn't he getting paid like close to 10 now?
Yeah, but the older you get, like, you make it up in longevity. And he's also an athleticism player.
He's 30. I mean, he's not that old.
I don't know. I'd be pretty upset if we sign him for more than 10, which means we'll probably sign him for like 13 or probably 12. 12 feels like about right, but man, I don't know if I feel good about like 3 years at $12 million for Taj Gibson.
I think he's going to get more than that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on board. Let's do it. Bring him in.
Ugh. All right. And that's really it on free agents. Oh, one other thing I want to talk about. Lance Stevenson, as soon as he gets to Indiana, he becomes old Lance Stevenson, and he just, like, starts games for them in the playoffs, like, guards LeBron, does a decent job, gets close to a triple-double. Isn't that absurd?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this, too. I don't quite understand what happened in Minnesota. You know, we signed him for 10 days, he played pretty well, then he got hurt, and then he just stayed hurt. And eventually he just all of a sudden wasn't hurt anymore and phenomenal once he left. Do you think he signed here and sort of like semi-faked the injury? Gracefully exit?
No, definitely not.
Okay, it's just...
Because they're 10-day contracts. Like,
well,
he didn't need to sign here for...
a contract. I know that, but like...
He didn't need the $5,000 that badly.
I don't know. Something was weird with it, though. It was just very strange.
Yeah, I don't think it was strange at all. I think Indiana's the only place where they trust Lance enough to give him the ball and kind of let him do his thing. And I think for whatever reason, like, it didn't work out in Charlotte. Like, I think they want him to be a system player, and he's not. He's not a guy that's going to, like, run off screens and, like, keep the ball moving. He's a dude where you give him the ball, you let him hold it for like 8 seconds and see if there's an opening, and he does some things well.
Yeah, no, he does. I would have loved to have him in Minnesota for like a 1 year deal. I don't, you know, apparently he was too hurt to even play like garbage time minutes at the end of the season for us, but healthy enough to look pretty spry and start in the playoffs for Indiana. Just like a couple weeks later, I don't know. The whole thing was just very strange to me.
Okay.
Should we talk some draft?
Yes, sorry. Let's talk some draft.
Well, I don't know how we're this far into the pod, and we haven't even mentioned our giant victory. won the coin flip with New York. So gives us a few more ping pong balls. I think the lottery itself is 6 days from now, maybe 7 days from now. It's coming up pretty fast.
Yeah, it's a week away.
Where do you think we end up picking, Brian?
I think we end up at number six.
For some reason, I feel like we're going to move up to three.
Okay. Just because we've literally never moved up and we're due?
Yeah, we have implied odds. Let me have this.
Okay, fine. You can think that.
I'm not even being greedy. If I was greedy, I'd be like, yeah, we're going to get the first pick. I'm not being greedy. I just want to move up to three.
Or, well, we would have gotten first pick last year. I was going to say, what if we're the new Cavs?
Ooh, this would be a nice draft to get the number one pick in.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Fultz.
I know. He'd lead us to 35 wins next year.
God, I'd trade Zach so fast.
Yeah, Zach would be gone. Anyways, so let's say we get the sixth pick. Who do you want us to target with that pick, Brian? You know, Jonathan Isaac seems to be the person everyone wants, myself included, and I don't really know a lot about college basketball, but just from what I read, the few games I saw him in, I love his size, I love his defensive-mindedness. He is a project. I think he's like 19, and he's very slender, so he's not going to be a guy who's going to play a lot for us next year. But I love his potential on how he could fit in the team 3 years from now.
He's a slender man. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, so he's the one that excites me the most. What do you think, Brian?
I think so, too. And the reason is that there is a potential that he's interested in playing defense, which would make him unique among our front line.
That's very true. That's a great point.
And I just think, like, we're at a point now where...
Get rid of Gorgie.
Oh, my God. I would fucking love to get rid of Gorgie. Are you kidding? I hate that contract so much.
How much would you pay to personally deliver the news to Gorgie that he's been traded or cut?
So, nothing. Because I think Gorgie's a really good guy. And I actually really like Gorgie as a person. But I just hate the contract. And I just don't like him as a basketball player. I used to love him because he can do a little bit of everything. But now I'm just at the point where, like, all right. Like, no matter what changes... Gorgie's not the thing changing. Like, he is who we thought he was. He's just going to get you, like, 12 points and 12 rebounds per 36 minutes, and that's it. Anyway, Gorgie rant over. No, Jonathan Isaac's really exciting, but, like, even if we have the opportunity to grab a guy who's super good at offense, like a Malik Monk, I just don't know if we can do it. Like, we just need, at this point, we need guys who can play defense.
Completely agree. We can't do it. No matter how talented Malik Monk looks like he is, it doesn't make any sense. We can't just keep loading up chuckers, offensive chuckers. It doesn't work. The pieces aren't going to fit.
Yeah, I agree. And so, and that's the other thing. It's a risk with Isaac because he can protect the rim, but that's just because he's like 6'11", which is nice. But Towns is 7'3", and he can't protect the rim for Jack. So
Towns
maybe
7'3".
Sorry, you're right. He's not 7'3". What is he? 7'1"?
He's like 7 feet, probably.
He's like 7'1", but he's a terrible rim protector. So I don't know if they just say that on these draft boards when a dude's 6'11", but I don't know. We just need a guy who can play defense. So Isaac is the only guy in the top eight where there's a little comment like, and he can protect the rim.
Sign him up.
So I'm on board. So I feel passionately we should draft Jonathan Isaac.
Is there anyone you don't want us drafting? You know, you mentioned Malik Monk. Anyone else?
Yeah. Yes. If we draft Lauri Markkanen, I'm going to lose it.
Why is that?
Because all these NBA writers are like, oh, Timberwolves, next to Towns, be great to have a nice shooter from distance. It's like, yeah, we need another guy who, like, can't effing play defense and is good at shooting. Like, thanks. That's exactly what we need. I'd be really upset. Like, clearly this guy's not good at defense. So, I don't know, man.
What are the odds we trade this pick?
So that's the other thing. I also think that's low. Like, who would give us anything of value to get into this draft? It's not like at this level, depending where we pick, you know, outside of the top. Well, actually, if you needed a point guard, maybe there's 5 really good point guards in this draft. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think we're going to trade it. I think we'll try, and there'll be rumors that we're, you know, trying to move the pick. But ultimately, I think we're going to use it. Usually, I don't want us to trade picks like this, but this one I'm a little more indifferent on.
Yeah, I think we're also a little gun-shy because we picked in this range last year and Dunn was such a flop.
Yes. To be determined. But yeah, he had a very bad rookie.
He had a bad first season. Sorry. So
he
I think
had a
we're
bad
both
rookie campaign.
We're both of the mindset that, like, let's not draft some guy that's a huge question mark again. One thing I wanted to ask you, though, don't you think it's weird that in the NBA, especially relative to the NFL, that teams never trade down?
No. The NFL is so different, right? The draft is, what, 6 rounds? The uncertainty is, I think, a lot higher in the earlier rounds. So I think the really smart GMs, you know, Bill Belichick is notorious for this, but I think he realized that 3 fourth-round picks is worth more than 1 second-round pick or something like that.
Yeah.
A, those guys make less money. B, you then get 4 shots at, say, 20% of a guy working out versus maybe 1 shot at 40% of a guy working out, or some equation like that where it makes more sense. In the NBA, you're not going to trade back.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you can't. Like, the disparity between a top 5 player and, like, a top 20 player in the NBA draft, I think, is a big difference. And the roster is much more limited, so it's not like you can just trade back and get 3 first-rounders and carry them all on your roster. You're probably not going to have the spots for that. And second-round picks, they're not worthless, but they're very minimal value.
Well, your answer was way better than I thought it would be.
Wow. All right. Well, thanks.
I have no rebuttal to that. Those are all the exact reasons that I didn't think of. Yeah, you're right. It's the going from the 8th, like the likely return on the 8th pick to the likely return on the 15th pick is in theory a big difference.
Yeah, I think it's a massive difference.
I feel like lately, though, it's so hard to tell, like, all these one and done guys. There's no, like, it just feels a little less clear to me, but I'm probably wrong.
I mean, it may have gotten more uncertain. It's even if that's true, though, I think it's still tough to do it.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. Yeah, I'd be happy to trade off this spot. And I think the only place we can get value is one of the places we get value is it's a really deep point guard draft. There's probably like 5 or 6 really quality point guards. I mean, there's 3 franchise altering point guards in Fultz, Ball, and De'Aaron Fox. And then, you know, there's a couple.
Is Fox being touted as franchise altering?
Sorry, not franchise altering like the first two, but like he's your starting point guard for a long time. It seems like he's so athletic.
Is he a Chris Dunn type?
I heard John Wall type.
Heard that about Chris Dunn.
Oh, that's sad. Yes, he's the next Chris Dunn.
It's going to be interesting, this draft, more so than other years, I think. We could go a lot of ways with it, but I think you're right. Let's not draft some, 19-year-old, really good offensive player who's one-dimensional. We don't need that.
Yeah. The only other guy I want to throw out is I saw some mock drafts where small forward Jason Tatum could fall to us, and he could be interesting. It'd be nice to have another wing to potentially push our guys to try and play defense. I want Wiggins and Zach to try and play defense.
You don't say. Yeah, I do too.
Okay, cool. But yeah, that's my hot draft take. But hopefully we, fingers crossed, man.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll do a little more in-depth draft take as we get closer to the actual draft. And I'm sure next pod we'll have some hot takes on the lottery. You know what's weird about the lottery? I love it, not just because every year the Wolves are in it and there's a chance we're going to move up, but I just love watching it. I like as the camera pans to each team representative. I love how diverse the representatives are. Sometimes it's the owner. Sometimes it's like the wife of the owner. Sometimes it's a player. Sometimes it's a Hall of Famer. You never know. They all have like little good luck tokens. The interviews are always super awkward, but they crack me up. I think I read Andrew Wiggins is going to be there.
Yeah, Wiggins is going to be our guy.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Do you? Why?
Seems really unassuming, but you know he's going to be thinking good thoughts. And if we do win the lottery, I can't wait for the interview with Wiggins. Just because, you know, he's not the most excitable guy in situations like that. Maybe not the best interview. I think it could be TV gold.
Yeah, let's hope so. Yeah, we'll see. We're due to move up one of these days.
Let's do it. Should we do some mailbag, Ryan?
Or should we do Where Are They Now?
Oh, you have a Where Are They Now?
Of course I have a Where Are They Now. You ready?
Yeah, let's do Where Are They Now.
Totally awesome. Where are they now?
Totally awesome. Okay, y'all ready for this?
I'm ready.
Our mystery player was born in French Camp, California in July of 1965. He graduated from East Union High School, and he was very...
65?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
In the summer of 65. Played high school in Manteca, California. And then in college, he played basketball at TCU his freshman season before transferring his sophomore year to San Joaquin Delta in Stockton, California. One of his highlights at TCU has been assigned the task of fronting Hakeem Olajuwon. He was offered a spot at nearby University of the Pacific, which he politely declined, and spent the next 2 years at UC Irvine. His senior year, he averaged 24 points and made 43% of his three-point attempts. After graduating college, he went undrafted in the 1987 NBA draft, and he debuted professionally with the Albany Patroons of the CBA under coach Bill Musselman. The player was named to CBA's all-rookie team. Later played for the Fresno Flames. This player played 10 seasons in the NBA. I still don't think you know who it is. Appearing as a member of the 76ers, Timberwolves, Rockets, Mavericks, Knicks, and Cavs, and was a champion in Houston's 1994 team.
I have a guess just because you said his last name's Brooks.
Okay. Real quick.
But no, I wouldn't have had it not by now if not for that.
Fair enough. He signed with the Clippers before the 98-99 season. I also didn't realize he played that recently. Waived him, re-signed him, and then joined the Los Angeles Stars of the ABA in 2001, where he was a player and an assistant coach, beginning his illustrious coaching career. Served as an NBA assistant with the Kings, the Nuggets, the Supersonics, and Thunder before being transferred to head coach of the Thunder in 2008. And now you know who it is.
Yeah, I would have got it probably 10 seconds ago. It's Scotty Brooks.
Did you know he played for the Wolves?
I did not know that. No, that's why. Yeah, no, I did not know that. How long did he play for the Wolves? Do you know?
Just 3 years, actually. Actually, it's pretty long.
Yeah, that's a lot longer than I thought. That's pretty amazing. I have a quick Scotty Brooks story, actually, before you finish.
Go ahead.
Did you want to finish first?
You're so polite.
I'm just excited for my Scotty Brooks story.
Yeah, so as you know, he was illustrious or unceremoniously fired as the coach of the Thunder after they missed the playoffs. When Durant was hurt, he left as the third winningest coach in Sonics Thunder history, behind only Lenny Wilkins and George Karl. In 2016, after sitting out a year, Scotty was hired by the Washington Wizards, becoming the 24th head coach in franchise history, and he coached a game tonight against Boston.
Yeah, so they lost that game. Come on, Scotty.
Yeah, Scotty. Step it up.
Quick Scotty story. I was at a Wolves game. This was, I don't know, 6 years ago, something like that. They were playing the Thunder. I had very good seats. I was there with my dad. And during one of the timeouts, after, you know, Scotty drew up a play, there was a huddle. He was just kind of staring off right into the court. And it's pretty quiet in the Target Center, especially in between when, you know, the music stops and when the players are going out on the court. So I decided to get Scotty Brooks' attention. I had some drinks. I wanted Scotty to look at me and wave. So I go, "Scotty! Hey, Scotty! Look over here!" Just like a complete madman. And Scotty did. He looked over at me. He did like this really awkward wave, like, "What the f*** are you doing?" like kind of wave. And I smiled and waved back.
You need to go to a Wizards game next year and do the same thing.
It made me a lot happier than it should have that he waved to me. But that's my Scotty Brooks story.
Fair enough.
Should we do a mailbag?
Let's do a mailbag.
You've got mail.
TimWolvesPodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter @TimWolvesPodcast. Keep the emails coming, guys. We apologize for the delay, but we did have some good emails this week. First email is from Anthony Wing. Said, "Ricky has not turned into a great scorer." That's the whole email. I respect that. He's not a great scorer. Improved. I'd probably give the most improved player award on the Wolves this year to Ricky, but still not a great scorer. I think that's a fair point.
Yeah. I'm eating El Milagro tortilla chips. They're delicious. He finished really strong. I think my conclusion is that's a blip in the radar. Like, he ended the year last year, and other years, like, he just has such promising stretches, but he just can't put it together for a very long time. So I'm not buying that that's who he's going to be next year.
Yeah, I agree, but hopefully he proves us wrong. Next email is from longtime listener Mike Lewis. Mike, thanks for the email. He said, "Now that Rubio had his career year, where does your ranking of him within the league change? Follow-up question, if you could trade Rubio for another point guard on another team who's not an all-star, who would it be?"
Oh, good question. Wow.
That is a good question. I guess we'd have to do our yearly analysis where we get frustrated with Ricky and look at all the other point guards in the league. I think he's still probably going to fall in that, like, 15 to 20 range. Is my feeling for point guards in the league. Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah. If you give me a second, I can pull up the NBA scoring leaders by position, and we can do the point guard one real quick and see where he falls. You want to do that?
Yeah, do it. Let's run it.
Okay, so not better than Russ. Not better than Chris Paul.
Nope, that's two.
Are we counting Isaiah Thomas as a point guard? He's just really little. He's not really a point guard.
He's a point guard.
Sure. Okay, that's three. Steph, probably not.
Yep, probably takes Steph.
Kyrie, no. Dame Lillard, no. God, Jesus, Dame averaged 27. That's a lot. Kemba Walker, no. Wow, Kemba averaged 23. That's also a lot. John Wall, definitely not. Kyle Lowry, definitely not. Eric Bledsoe, no. Mike Conley, no. Goran Dragic, no. Okay, here's where we start talking about it. Derrick Rose. I would much rather have Rubio than Derrick Rose's past.
Yeah, I would too. I'd take Rubio.
Dennis Schroeder from Atlanta, averaged 18 points, shot 45%, 34% from three, and looked decent in the playoffs. I think I'd rather have Schroeder.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
Okay, how about D'Angelo Russell from the Lakers?
Depends, like.
One season. We're talking about right now.
Rubio.
I think so, too. And then it kind of falls off after that. Then it's like Drew Holiday from New Orleans. That one's kind of a toss-up.
Yeah, I'd probably take Drew Holiday, actually.
Interesting. Yeah, Drew Holiday always torches us, but he's not as good of a passer. Probably a little bit better defender. Jeff Teague.
I'd probably take Teague.
Think so?
I think so.
Man, Teague's pretty bad at defense. That one's really close. And then Jordan Clarkson. I think I'd rather have Rubio than Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, I think so too.
George Hill is not listed at point guard, but I think I'd rather in a given game take George Hill than Rubio.
I agree.
Okay, so what is that? I think that's like 16.
Yeah, I got about 15, 16. So, yeah, he's in that 15 to 20 range, kind of like a thought. But
He didn't really change. Like, he passed Jeff Teague this year. Like,
I think he changed. If I remember the exercise last year, he was closer to 20.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. He went up like 4 spots. But, yeah, I mean, Chris Paul's the 12th highest scoring point guard. I mean, he's obviously like number one or number two, but like Goran Dragic. It's like it's not even close. Like Goran Dragic, Mike Conley, Eric Bledsoe. You'd much rather have those guys than Rubio.
Yeah, there's a lot of good point guards in the league.
A lot of them. Okay, great question.
Yeah, that was a really good question. Who, if you were to trade for Rubio for one of those non-top, you know, 8 guys, who would it be, Brian?
Anyone that we just decided was better than him.
Good analysis. I like it.
No, you take age into account. Like, I would have definitely given up Ricky for Goran Dragic this year. I thought that was actually going to happen because Zach Lowe called it, but guess it didn't happen.
Yeah, that would have been a good trade for us. Next question, also from Mike. It's clear that we need some defense. Having Cat and Wiggins seem to be enough offensive firepower to score, but we need to surround them with some defensive veterans. Agree with that, Mike. Let's say we're either GM of the Wolves and tasked with trading Gorgie or signing a free agent to be a new defensively-minded forward or center. Who do you go for that we could realistically sign or trade for, Brian? We sort of touched on this earlier in the pod.
Yeah, we did. You know, I'd feel good about Taj. I'd feel good about Miles Plumlee. He's actually a pretty good offensive player. He had a bunch of assists when he played for Portland. And PJ Tucker is nice, but I think he'll get paid a lot because he actually looked pretty decent in the playoffs. But any of those guys, you know, in that like 10 to 12 million a year range, I think I'd feel good about.
Yeah, I agree. Last question, also from Mike. Mike, thank you for carrying the mailbag.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it, man.
And sticking with the pod, even though we haven't delivered for a while. I'd love for you guys to look at former Wolves in the league and make an all-former Wolves team out of them. Brian, do you want to try doing this quick?
Yeah, let's make this happen.
I'm guessing the number one pick is going to be Kevin Love.
Mm-hmm. That's a good number one pick. Former Wolves throughout the league. Sorry. So, no, we're not drafting two teams. We're not doing that. We're doing a top five, right?
Okay. I'm guessing Corey Brewer is probably going to be on the team.
Yeah, Corey Brewer, sadly. No way. Really? That's like one of the best former Wolves.
Find me 4 others.
Jesus Christ. I'm looking at the list. Hold on.
I really think he's going to make the list.
Like, Josh Howard played for us as recently as 2012. Like, are we counting? Yeah. God. Are we counting Derek Williams?
Derek Williams was ex-Wolf. He might make this team, actually.
No way. I'm going to put Beasley above Derek Williams. Oh, Costa Kufis. He's good.
Yeah, he's probably on the team. So who's definitely on the team?
Kevin Love.
Yep.
Costa Kufis.
Yep.
God, our team is sad.
Man.
Michael Beasley.
Okay.
Oh, Thad Young. Thad Young for sure.
Oh, yeah. Thad's definitely on the team. I feel like we need a point guard. Round this out.
Oof.
JJ Barea, Randy Foy. Just thinking of guys who have played for us and left.
Did you hear Brandon Roy got shot this week?
Got shot?
Yeah, he got hit in a shooting. California.
Wow, no. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, very sad, very sad. Yeah, so let's throw on. We'll just keep Corey Brewer on there. And then Gerald Green can be our point guard, and we'll call this a day.
Okay. Fair enough. That's really bad.
That's pretty pathetic, actually. I was like, oh, we'll find some good former Wolves that are doing better.
So it's a really bad team. It's kind of amazing, actually. Good question, though. That was kind of fun. Thanks, Mike. And thanks, everyone, for the emails. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com. Brian, anything on Twitter quick?
Yep. Trey at Indy Trey says, at T-Wolves Podcast, my wife is going to St. Paul. Anywhere she can get me a new logo Wolves gear you would suggest. Trey, we don't go to St. Paul a lot.
Yeah, it's sad. It does border Minneapolis, but I am rarely there, and I wouldn't have a clue about Wolves gear in St. Paul.
Yeah, you're better off Yelping, my friend.
Yep, or just interneting it. Anything else?
No, that's it.
And we had one tweet in a month?
Yeah, I don't know. We had, like, two emails.
Yeah. Mike fell through for us. Anyways, guys, thanks again. Say it one more time, TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at TimberwolvesPodcast. We appreciate you guys. We are back with a vengeance. And we'll be back after the lottery to discuss, probably break down that half hour of TV, which I always love. Thanks, everyone, for listening, including the international listeners. We'll be back soon.
Bye.